Wake up, Dave. Usually Dave counts me down to, a couple minutes, and then he'll give me the scary sign that says we're about to come on the radio, and he didn't do any of that, so I was doing it for him. Where did this year go? 39 days, and it'll be 2015, people. 39 days. What's even more believable is that this is the 36th time this show has been on the radio. Good afternoon, and it is a beautiful one outside. My name is Roger Metz, and this is Woods and Water South Carolina, a live Saturday radio show dedicated to our South Carolina outdoors. You can tune in on your FM dial at 94.5, download the free Conservative Talk 94.5 WGTK app, or go to the website, Conservative Talk 94.5, and click the Listen Live link on the right-hand side of the page. You can find this show with the weekly calendar of events, pictures, videos, and whatever else I put up there on Facebook at Facebook.com/WoodsAndWaterSC. Tag your pictures on Instagram at #WoodsAndWaterSCRadio. And you can see more and listen to the weekly podcast on the website, WoodsAndWaterSC.com. If you want to call on the show today, that number is 235-9405 in the area, or 877-235-9405 somewhere else. Do you remember when you were a kid and wished that time would pass faster? So you could get to the next Christmas, your 16th birthday, your driver's license. These days I've got the brakes jammed to the floorboards and I'm starting to reach for the emergency brake. Something, anything to slow down time. Speaking of time getting away from us, I've got a very special guest with me today, my daughter Jordan. Jordan.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you ready for this?
I think so, yeah.
You think so?
I think so.
Classic first child overachiever. I said, Jordan, I said, today's show, we talked about this probably a month ago or so, and I said, come up with three things in your life that you and I did together outside that we could talk about. How many do you have?
I came up with six.
There you go. Classic first child overachiever.
Well, there's so many stories that I couldn't condense down.
Okay.
So.
I'm not fussing at you. It's just an example of, if I'd have told Taylor this, she'd have come in with two.
Yeah, she would have.
Anyway, it's hard to believe you're 17 and getting ready to go to college next fall. Unbelievable. I've asked her to be here partly because it's Thanksgiving and we want to be thankful for the time we have spent together, and it's been a lot of it. But partly because I want you to hear some of the things she remembers as opposed to things I remember. They all say kids remember things differently, and I have the feeling I'm about to get blindsided with some of this stuff, but we'll prove whether or not kids remember different from adults. My purpose in doing this experience is just this. It won't always be the perfect day or time to be outdoors with your kids, but you'll never be able to talk, probably laugh like we're going to do today, about those times if you don't get them out there in the first place. So now you have your marching orders for Thanksgiving week. Speaking of memories, I hope mine of the last two evenings quickly fade. My other daughter, Taylor, has been after me to take her deer hunting, but my schedule has just been hectic. She finished her schoolwork early Thursday, so we went to the club and sat in the deer stand for a while. Nothing, and I mean nothing, moved. Maybe a squirrel or two. Luckily, there was plenty of ducks around, and there was one old mallard that really was feeling talkative, so she kept the afternoon kind of interesting. Anyway, right at dusk, across the clear cut, not too far into a patch of thin pine trees, I caught a flash of white. I told Taylor it was a deer, put my binoculars on it, saw a nice mass of antlers on top, got my rifle ready. The buck came out an old logging road just for a second. I squeezed off around, and I should have known something was wrong when he just stood there. So I chambered another round and squeezed another round off. This time he was gone, and I hoped the second one was the good one. And we looked for a long time, but all we found were two dead sweet gum trees. Well, I say dead, but they'll probably spite me and won't die. They'll probably live. I got one of them dead center. If you've been on the Facebook page, you've seen the picture of that tree. That was a pretty good shot if I was shooting at the sweet gum tree. But it wasn't a time I really wanted to go deer hunting because, see, I didn't trust that scope. Twice this year, that scope's been bumped pretty good, and I knew I should have gone straight to the range and re-zeroed it in, but just hadn't done it. But, it wasn't the perfect time. The result certainly wasn't what I was after. There's a buck out there that'll haunt my dreams for the next few weeks. On the other hand, Taylor will probably always make sure her gun is sighted in before she goes to the woods. Someday we'll look back and laugh about those two sweet gum trees and the cheeseburgers at Theo's tasted just as good as ever. So it all worked out. I could tell you another story from last night that involved me bow hunting, a 10-pointer that I watched for 20 minutes, had almost broadside at 20 yards and a big black Labrador. But that one still hurts too much to talk about. And as we were talking about earlier, I'm not going to laugh about that one anytime soon. Not going to be here next week, so the calendar's a little long. Hang with me. We'll get through this stuff, and then we'll get on to Jordan and our conversation. God's Pantry, Fishers of Men National Tournament Trail, the Legacy Series, is going to be holding a black bag tournament November 28th on Lake Hartwell, $150 per boat, Portman ramp, blast off by order of entry, lots of prizes. So guys, if you're looking for something to do on Black Friday while all the girls are off shopping, here's one of the things you can do. You can contact Rodney Floyd at 864-417-5804. Another Black Friday event, if you don't want to go fishing, come out to Rocky Creek Sporting Clays in Richburg, South Carolina. Join us Friday, November 28th for our annual Black Friday shoot. This shoot is always a great time. We have 100 registered targets on the Oak Course and 100 target fun shoot on the Creek Course. All NSCA rules apply to the registered event, and we'll use Lewis class for the fun shoot. The fun shoot's got a lot of prizes. Registration opens at 8:30. Shooting starts at 9. Scorecards need to be in by 3. And entries, let's see, all shooters are welcome. Guests are $15 a person. So skip out on the shop and enjoy a wonderful day of shooting, eating at Rocky Creek. I agree with them there. I found this story a couple of weeks ago, but I told myself I was not doing anything Christmas until after Thanksgiving. Hey, you can't help it. Holly Wild Animal Park is open. So I'm breaking my own rules. Anyway, Holly Wild, if you haven't been out there, it's a great place to take the kids. So they open November 15th, last Saturday. Gates open at 6 p.m. and will run nightly through Saturday, January the 3rd. If you ever wanted to pet a live white-tailed deer, you can go do it. I wonder if they still got those big old cows.
I hated those cows. I really did.
Holy smoke. The first time we went out there, they had these cows, and I grew up around cows in the country. I've seen a lot of cows across the United States, and I have never seen cows like this. That cow stuck its head through my window of my Jeep.
It was a Suburban.
Was it the Suburban? Mm-hmm. So that tells you how high off the ground the cow was, and he had to lower his head a little bit to get it in. And, I mean, it was all that was there in my seat was this cow's head. It was huge. Anyway, see? Mm-hmm. There's one of those memories,
yep.
Right?
Right.
And that cow had a tongue that was about 6 inches long. I saw it up close and personal. let's see. Banquets. National Wild Turkey Federation, Piedmont Chapter, December the 2nd, South Carolina National Guard Armory in Union, South Carolina, is going to have their banquet. Kevin Shropshire is your contact, 864-427-6117. You can go to the National Wild Turkey Federation website. They have a list of all of their banquets there. And then on 2 days later, on the 4th of December, Neil Gobbler Cost, South Carolina, the Piedmont Technical College in Greenwood, is having their banquet. Contact us, Mike Waters. Like I said, the National Wild Turkey Federation website, click on the events, and it'll show you every chapter event you've got out there. Going to cross the border up to the north, December the 5th and the 6th, the Western North Carolina Ag Center, up there at the Henderson, or the Asheville Airport, I guess it would be. The largest fly fishing expo in Western North Carolina. It's the 6th annual. Don't miss it. $15 admission. Children are 16 free. Taylor and I go to this together, and it's a good time. It's a 2-day fly fishing extravaganza. I know my sponsor, Low Country Fly Shop, will be there. If you've never gotten a chance to go in his shop, take this time to go to the Ag Center and tell them you appreciate sponsoring Woods and Water South Carolina. They're going to have nymphing courses, stripers, muskie on the fly, the Fiberglass Manifesto. Cameron Mortensen is going to be there. Captain Scott Davis, my sponsor, targeting redfish on the fly. Anyway, 3,200 square foot, hours on Friday 12 to 7, Saturday 6 to 4. I'll see you on the other side of the break with more. We'll be right back. boy, they did him right at the CMA Awards. Was it the CMA? The Country Music Awards show they just had. Was that CMA Jordan?
I think so.
He was on there. They really did a good job with him this year. Just a really neat guy to research and listen to. Got some good music. A few more things for the calendar. I was deer hunting in Lawrence, and then I was going to go deer hunting in Chester. And so the road I took between the two led me through Union. Brother wanted to eat, so we stopped at a little Mexican restaurant there in Union to eat. And there's a flyer on the door. Upper Palmetto State Sportsman's Expo, the Union County Fairgrounds, 120 Kirby Street in Union, South Carolina, December the 5th through the 7th. Gates open at 10 a.m. on Friday, 8 a.m. on Saturday, 12 p.m. on Sunday. Boats, RV, camp, archery, hunting supplies, sponsored by Union County Tourism. And it's got a little note here. It says, be sure to visit our kids' play area. So it's one of these that I've never heard of, but like I said, a little flyer in the door. And now you've got something else. If you're over in that side of town, you can go to. The local hiker put up a link to a climbing event at Climb Upstate. It says, mark your calendars for this awesome climbing competition and vendor expo with our friends at Climb Upstate, December the 6th from 12 to 5 p.m. So competition is $15 entry fee. Categories, just friends, beginners, intermediates, advanced, and elites. And I'm no climber, so I don't know what all that means, but it's got a picture of a guy here on the climbing wall, and I have seen those, and this guy doesn't have a rope on him. He must be good. You know, they would have to put three or four ropes on me. That ground is awfully hard. I don't care if it is padded. So that's Saturday, December the 6th, 12 o'clock at Climb Upstate. This is a really neat one. I've talked about this one before. Coastal Expeditions down in Charleston, paddle under the silvery light of a Carolina full moon. They're going to do this Saturday, December the 6th. It's takes place, it says, the protected water trails of Folly Creek and the surrounding estuary. Be a really cool thing to do. Saturday, December 6th, 4:30 to 7:30. I'm assuming they'll provide all the kayaks. It doesn't say here. If it doesn't, you might want to call them. Let's see. I don't have their... Yeah, info@coastalexpeditions.com. Telephone number 843-884-7684. That just... The trip duration is up to 3 hours. That would just be a really fun thing to do. A full moon kayak tour down in the low country. That's just a cool one. Christmas at the farm. Christmas was not always the hustle and bustle time of the year that is today. Step back in time at Kings Mountain and visit a Christmas scene from a simpler bygone era. And you can be part of it by helping us decorate the Living History Farm. So December the 6th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is at Kings Mountain State Park over in Blacksburg, not the military park, but the state park. The fee is just for park admission. There again, if you decide to visit some of these state parks, you can buy the passes that will save you money. I assure you, I've used mine. And next week, we have a recorded show, and it's a fifth Saturday cooking show, and we're going to be talking about chili with Matt Lusk from the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off. And there's an event, fortuitous enough, on December the 6th, downtown Anderson, the St. Nick's Chili Fix. It's a chili cook-off benefiting Meals on Wheels Anderson. Says Santa Claus is coming to town, and so is a nice warm bowl of chili. Join the fun at the sanctioned chili cook-off featuring professional cooks from all over the country. Visit with Santa, too. So Saturday, 10:30 to 5 p.m., Carolina Wren Park Overlook. $5 for 8 tastings or $15 for unlimited. Beverage and other food items available for purchase. If you feel like you want to cook, it's not too late to get in. You can email them at info@acmow.org, and that benefits Meals on Wheels. That's the calendar. I'll be adding these, as always, to the Facebook page. I'll have the link, the date, where it's happening for each event. But, again, please check these events a few days before you go just to make sure nothing has changed at the last minute. If you want to be on the show today, there's numbers 235-9405, 877-235-9405. Okay, Jordan, I'm leaving. The rest of the show is yours.
Okay. Well, I guess one of my biggest memories when you're talking about this was our trip to Titusville.
Heavenly days.
I told you we were going to come up with similar stories. I just knew it.
Well, you know what? That's the first trip I have on my list.
That was mine, too.
That was, if there was a perfect trip, that was the perfect trip.
It was a really good trip.
You were 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Titusville, Florida, redfish capital of the world. And I was just getting, we had started going to Marco Island. We'd been down there 5 years or so and yeah. fishing the Everglades. And I just fell in love with saltwater fishing. And every time we'd come back from Marco, we'd come across four and you'd pass the Titusville exit and the big sign, redfish capital of the world. I said, I've got to go fish in the redfish capital of the world. But I can remember us standing in front of the Durango that's right out there.
Yes.
You were six. Mom took a picture of us. I got in the car and I said, what am I going to talk about for 9 hours with my 6-year-old daughter? And how am I going to keep her happy on a fishing trip and include her, make sure she has a good time? And I tell you what, I had more fun watching you catch fish than I ever thought I would. Do you remember what you learned to do on the way down there?
I learned how to read a map. That was on my list of things.
That was on your
yeah.
list too.
I remember that.
You know, you've got 9 hours worth of driving to do before you get down there. Cause we stopped in Lexington and went to my grandparents' grave and, because you'd never been there. So I wanted to show you where they were buried in Lexington, South Carolina. And I think we might even stopped at White House Church and seen the other, the Funches side or whatever.
I think we did.
That make Granddaddy happy. But what do you do with a 6-year-old in the back seat of a car for 9 hours? So I, at that time, DeLorme, if you remember the DeLorme maps, you buy them by state, and I had South Carolina and Florida. And you learned to read a map, and you remembered.
I did.
Wow. That's cool. So that was number one on mine, but that was a perfect trip. The weather, except for that horrendous thunderstorm
that
in Jacksonville, South Carolina.
It was scary.
Jacksonville, Florida. That was a scary rainstorm.
Like, I hate riding in storms now because you couldn't see out the windows.
No, you could not. It was the most torrential downpour. And this was June of 2002. So it was that tropical downpour they get in Florida. And it was a 10 to 15 mile creep for miles and miles and miles. Wow. Do you remember your first redfish?
I do.
And you caught it on your own.
I did. This was like my first time with like a regular rod.
Except on the pond in Chester,
well,
which most of the time I was casting
yes.
for you and that sort of thing.
Yeah. But this was like saltwater fishing, first time using a regular rod, and I casted it out by myself, and I was like, Dad, I think I'm stuck on something.
And I said, well, is it moving?
I was like, I don't know. I just think I'm stuck on something.
But her line's moving through the water. I'm like, Jordan, you have a fish. And I grabbed the video camera. I had so much fun. Do you remember who the guide was?
I remember, was his first name John?
John Lule.
Okay.
He's still guiding down there. I still converse with him every once in a while. Do you remember the other boat?
Yes, there was another boat that had been moving with us. I guess we just end up in the same spots.
We were
randomly.
Ping-ponging.
Yeah.
In saltwater fishing, we were ping-ponging a school of redfish.
Yeah.
And what that is, especially in shallow water, these redfish are in schools of 50, 75 or whatever. And one guide will hook up and will fight the fish off. The school will move off. The other boat will come in, will pick one fish off and you pick it up on the other side. So the school hits that boat and ping pongs back. And hopefully by the time they get to you, so that's where I'm glad you remember that trip. I started off that trip on pins and needles. I just had no idea how it was going to go. So you got your first one.
Yes.
You did something probably could have gotten us pulled over by the Coast Guard. Do you remember what that was?
I don't remember. No.
Oh, you loved it.
Did I go swimming?
No.
Oh, okay.
You dipped your feet over a couple times.
I did, yeah. No, I don't remember.
He let you ride up on the front of his boat. You were laying out.
Oh, yeah.
I got a picture of you doing that. And you just thought that was so cool to be on the front end of that boat riding around.
Yeah.
So we caught some small redfish.
Mm-hmm. And I remember we went out and we caught a pufferfish.
Yes.
And ladyfish.
Yes.
And I thought it was so cool with the pufferfish because it was blown up.
It was blown up.
And I think he deflated it.
Yeah. What he did was he made it blow up for you.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to touch it. I never caught a puffer for either. But he made it blow up. And then because the way they're built, the air bladder on the bottom, he laid it upside down in the water. And he remember it floated because it would go down. He said, it'll take it a second to deflate and it'll go down.
Yeah.
We caught the ladyfish and the pufferfish. Do you remember the?
Yes, I do. Fish. We had been offshore like all day, and we finally moved in closer to the shore, and it was a place where all these huge redfish were
right
like
there at the railroad
around.
Bridge.
And he was up on the polling platform, right. And he was looking for him, and he was like, "Okay, we need to cast here."
Yep.
And so who cast? I couldn't remember.
You did.
I did.
You did.
Okay.
You pretty much did this trip on your own.
Well, I cast out, and it was like. Then all of a sudden this big like tug on my line and you're like, "Jordan, reel, reel, reel."
These are big redfish. This redfish was probably in the 30, 35 inch range somewhere in there. I've got a picture and I've never really sat down and looked at it, but John's holding mm-hmm. the fish for you. And this is when you would touch fish.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'll still touch some fish.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Oh, but yeah, that's incredible. And see, there's one where the perfect trip was the perfect trip. Now, the second morning we fished, you wanted to do something so bad when we finished up. Do you remember what that was?
No.
Because I remember this just as
clear
as day.
I can only remember the
only
one day.
And I thought I was going to get in so much trouble for this.
What did I do?
We checked out of the motel.
Uh-huh.
And you wanted to go swimming.
I did.
Yes.
Oh, in that pool with the waterfall?
Waterfall.
Oh, okay.
You wanted to go fishing. We checked out early that morning and went fishing and we came and she was just, "Daddy, I want to go swimming again. Daddy, I want to go swimming again." I was like, "Jordan, we've already checked out. We can't go swimming." And that's one of those things you do as a parent. You're just like, "Oh, forget it. We're just going swimming." So I took you back and we swam in that pool before we came home and we changed clothes somewhere. I don't know where we changed clothes to get out of the wet clothes and drove back home. That was a great trip.
It was. It was a really good trip.
That was so. One for the record books. I can't believe you picked that one too.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to do one of mine?
Sure.
We got a couple minutes. We can start another one. October 2003. Do you remember what happened in 2002? What did we build in Chester? We built the
big box stand.
That's
yes.
right. Big box stand at the farm. And I started taking you deer hunting.
Yes.
And I tried my best to get you to pay attention, to look for deer. I'd take her out there at 3:30 in the afternoon. It would not get dark until 7:30. And I'd expect her to look for deer as hard as I was looking for deer, to pay attention, to be attentive. It just did not happen. And I got so frustrated with you. That was one of those mistakes you make as a parent. You look back and go, if somebody had taken you out there, you would have done the same thing. So what'd you start doing? You started going to sleep.
And reading.
And
I'd bring a book out.
You'd bring
and
a book out.
Read.
You'd start out reading and then you'd fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd wake you up, you know, right about dusk. And that was the one I had. And that was one of the mistakes. I probably forced you to go with me so many times and tried to make you stay awake. And I got upset with you and mad that you wouldn't just get into the deer hunting scene. But October the 3rd, it was a Saturday.
Okay.
Uncle Paul and I had been, no, it was a Wednesday. Because Uncle Paul and I had been hunting on Saturday and a deer had run over him.
I had that story.
You are so my first child. You are so my first child. Yeah, Uncle Paul, her uncle, my brother Paul, has actually been run over by a white-tailed deer. Mm-hmm. And for a while there, he sported the bruises to prove it.
He did.
He did. It's a really funny story. We're coming up on the break, and we'll get that going again. But, wow, two for two. That's pretty good.
I know.
That's pretty good. But, yeah, parents, remember when you take your kids outdoors, it's not about you and all. It's about the kid. You know, this is one of those instances I should have said, look, when Jordan was done with this, I was done too. But, no, we were staying at it. Mistake with first kid. We'll be back on the other side of the break to continue. Oh boy, it just can't get any better. It's one of those songs that you and I will ride down and sing together.
Mm-hmm.
Connect you on. Oh, who's the, okay, it's Bon Jovi on
and
one side.
Nettles.
Jennifer Nettles. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. This is Roger Metz, and I'm here with my daughter, Jordan. We're just reminiscing a little bit, being thankful for the times we've shared together outdoors. On the flip side, I want parents out there who, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. You just got to go out there and spend the time with the kids and all. And that's what counts. And we were talking before the break about the six-pointer from the deer stand that ran over your Uncle Paul, and which was a hilarious story. I'm going to have to get him on there and play the Uncle Paul got run over by a reindeer song and our whitetail song and that sort of that. But the thing I remember most, and I don't know, it probably scarred you for life. Do you remember what I was shooting that day?
I don't know.
I was shooting the flintlock.
Uh-huh.
I've been shooting flintlock for a few years. Never had a problem with ignition. Yeah, I use real black powder, patch round ball. I mean, it's as primitive as you can get with a gun. And I enjoy carrying it. It's heavy as I'll get out, but this was muzzleloading season. It misfired three times.
Mm.
And I know I got real upset, and you probably were it huddled in the
corner.
You don't
that.
Remember that?
Mm-mm, I don't.
See, that's one of those things I look back on and I think, you acted like a child because I was, the deer was out there in front of us. I shot at the deer three times. I had one that never ignited. I had two flashes in the pan before the fourth shot finally went off. Oh, that makes me feel a little better because
yeah,
I was so upset. Oh, I was so upset that gun would not shoot. But that was a good story.
Yeah, I remember that because right after we got, like, you shot the deer, we went and found it, and Mom and Taylor had come down with the car to take a picture of us with it.
Yeah.
And when we went back up, I went in the house and I called Uncle Paul and I said, Uncle Paul, we got the deer that ran over you.
a preview of that story is we were hunting together and he was videotaping. Actually had a big, he killed one that morning and he actually had one of the old VCR recorders and he was videotaping my hunt. And as we got into the field, we could see the deer. So we both lay down on the ground. He was videotaping and I was shooting and I took a shot at the deer as it went into the pine trees. And actually that bullet had actually gone just barely through the skin at the bottom. I was shooting low. But he had the video camera. He went in the pine trees were just a few years old at that time. And he had gone in a little trail that I'd cut just to see if he'd find anything. And I was walking a couple of lines and I heard the deer run and I yelled out, I said, deer coming out. And he turned to the sound of my voice and said he saw the deer on the other side of the pine tree. It hit the little path he was on. And he said, I had just enough time to grab the antlers as the deer ran over me. And ran off, but he was pretty bruised up for a while. But I heard the choo choo, ooh, oh, and I thought, oh my goodness, the deer has killed my brother. That was a great story. That's great memory. So you called him to tell him you got the deer. What was his reaction on the other end? Do you remember?
I really don't remember. I just remember I was so excited to tell him.
We got that old deer that tried to kill you. All right. Give me one of yours.
Okay. This was also in Chester.
Okay.
I actually went back on Facebook last night and found the picture that we took. It was April of 2010, so 4 years ago.
4 years ago, April 2010.
And you had gotten a call from Mr. Kenneth and Miss Joy that they had broken down on the side of the road. They're headed back to Chester from a bird hunt.
That's right.
And so you're like, Jordan, you want to go with me? We're just going to make a quick trip down there. So we did, and we took them back to their house, and their house is right next to ours down there. And we pulled in the driveway at the farmhouse, and you're like, Jordan, I forgot my keys. So we proceeded to climb over the fence and just walk down the driveway. You're like, okay, well, let's get the tractor out, and we'll go down to the pond. So we got the fishing rods out of Green Day's closet.
Right.
And we put them on the back of the bush hog on the tractor and we rode down to the pond and we just sat there and fished and talked for the rest of the afternoon. And then we drove home that night.
Yeah. Kenneth and Joy had been to a field trial. They broke down on 85, almost were 1485 across, called us and I said, sure, we'll take you back to Chester. The keys though, I've remedied that. There's a set in every car and there's a set in my office. So yeah, that was one of those things. I think did I twist my ankle jumping the fence? I remember my ankle I did something when I jumped the fence. But yeah, we were there. It's like, well, shoot, we're here. Let's do something.
Yeah.
And yeah, we got the picture of us on the tractor
mm-hmm.
together.
Yes.
And then fishing. We were sitting on Granny's new dock.
We were.
That's just one of those things. The opportunity was there, so we just did it.
Spur of the moment. And that was me finishing out eighth grade. So you were talking about high school stuff and everything. And yeah, it was just a fun time that we got to spend together and just spur of the moment weekend.
Because somebody broke down on the side of the road. I have to write Joy and Kenneth a thank you note for that memory. But I do. I remember that. And the fish were biting too. That's
the
nice thing.
Yeah.
We caught a lot of bass and brim that day.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we kept him though. Cause we
no,
had to go
and Granddaddy
night.
Was not happy with us. There's no fish worthy of being thrown back. Except when I've cleaned so many as I have over the years and every one of them needs to go back. Oh my.
All right, your turn.
All right, my turn. You were not, and probably still are not a competitive person.
Sometimes. Depends on what it is.
I can remember one time over the years you played basketball where your face got red and you wanted the ball. We go in every basketball game, Jordan, you got to want the ball. You got to want the ball. You never wanted the ball.
Well, I wanted the ball. I was just kind of scared to go out there.
That's right. Not a competitive person, but 2008, you fished the put up or shut up with me.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one.
2008. In June, the Department of Natural Resources had changed the law, and the redfish slot limit went from 15 to 24 to 15-23. And we have this little tournament in Charleston every year. We didn't have it this year, but it's called the Put Up or Shut Up. And it was originally started, I think I looked back the other night, it was 2006, and it was just four people who sat behind the computer and talked bigger than they were. And we said, all right. Put up or shut up, put $20 in a hat, and we're going to go out and see who can catch the longest redfish. Now, we don't weigh them. It's by length, which is why this story is so appropriate.
Yeah.
So, first thing in the morning, Jordan and I put in at Rimley's Point, ran up the Wando River, Firehouse Creek, and, man, we started catching fish. And we caught flounder and trout, and then you hooked up to a redfish.
I did.
And it ran with you. That was a stout redfish. It would have been a tournament winner in any tournament the year before. And we got it up on the boat. Go ahead, tell the rest of the story because it means more to you at this point.
Well, I was so excited because it was like so big.
Oh, it was
this
big.
This was probably my biggest in a while.
In a while.
And we got in the boat and I was so happy. I held it up by the boga grip and he took a picture of me and we laid it down on the ruler. And did you pinch the tail?
I pinched the tail because the rules in our tournament were pinch tail.
And it was it a half an inch too long?
23 and three quarters.
Yeah.
Last year, the year before, if you'd have fished with me and caught that, you'd have won the tournament.
And I would have won that tournament that year because that was the longest fish there if it the requirement.
That's right. Nobody was in. But it was three quarters of an inch long over the slot. Couldn't keep it. But I have never seen you so upset in anything competitive wise as that day. And I mean, you let everybody know, oh, if this was last year, I would have won this thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was an eye-opening experience for me, having watched her play basketball and just not a competitive person to be that bad on a redfish. Yeah. That was a beautiful day.
It was. It was a very pretty day.
And we fished pretty much all day.
Mm-hmm. We did.
But we caught fish. Everywhere we went, we caught fish. Flounder, redfish. You were fooling around with the black and whites on the camera. I remember that.
Oh, yeah, because I think I was taking a photography class.
Because you were taking
a
little photography class. So that was... That was a good one. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. That was a whole family trip, though. We were all down there for that.
We were. Mom and Taylor stayed at the hotel.
Yeah. Oh, well, those are my three. I mean, two of the ones that I had were the same as yours.
This is why it was good that I had six stories to bring in.
But I have other information over here, too.
But I have more stories.
Well, I actually have one more one here.
Okay.
But we're... Okay, go ahead and start. What's your next one?
Well, this one was in Charleston.
Okay.
And it was one day, and I think it was just you, Mom, and Taylor, you, Mom, and I that were down there.
Okay.
And we went back And I can't remember what river it was, but one of the benefits about being homeschooled was that we could take schoolwork with us.
Right.
And so we went fishing that day. And let's just say we had a little trouble.
See,
this the rest of the time.
This is the blind side. This is the thing I wish she should forget. Although it was a great day.
It was.
But it was a bad day.
It was. Yeah.
We were up the Wando River. Mm-hmm. It was the first trip you and Mom had been on the boat with me. That was in 2005.
Okay.
So, more Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
But that was a disastrous trip. But we laugh about it
we
now.
We do.
We have a good time with that. Yeah. But we'll get into that one because this is a doozy on the other side of the break. Come back and we'll move back on the other side. Outfield. I am a true child of the 80s. I'll never leave the 80s. I can trust you. You can trust me on that one. Yes, the Wando River trip. That was February.
Okay.
That was February. You and Mom, we'd gone down. We were up at Denton's Boatyard because I had been up there with a fishing guide the summer before. J.R. Waits had taken me fishing. And we'd been up to Denton's and our Detyens, is that spelled? And so I took y'all up there. That was the first trip we took on the boat together. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, if you have a boat and you have a battery, always have a backup battery. Or either don't run the battery you have on the live well all day. Because that's essentially what we did. We ran mm-hmm. up there. We threw out the anchor and we stayed because you were doing schoolwork
yeah.
and I was fishing and we were having a great time.
Yeah. You weren't catching anything.
No, I hadn't caught a thing the whole day.
Nope.
The last time I'd been up there, it had been nonstop, had not caught a single fish all afternoon. I was pretty upset.
Yeah. So it was getting late. Sun was starting to go down and we're like, okay, I guess it's kind of time to start heading in. And
no, I want to fish some more.
Yeah. Well, by the time we finally...
Me wanting to fish a little more has gotten us in more than one spot.
Just one more. So we were like, you're finally like, okay, I'm done. Let's just go back in. So we packed up all our stuff and you turned the key and it was like, and you're like, what in the world's going on?
Yeah, normally when you turn the key on a boat motor, it's supposed to turn over and start. It didn't. I'd run the live well on that battery all day long, and it was a cranking battery, not a deep cycle battery. And it was the only battery on the boat. Therefore, I'd run it down. Luckily for me, I had a CETO membership. And there's another good one for you fellows out there that have boats. CETO, towboat. My current one is towboat. If you're going to have a boat and be out on the water, especially with your kids, it's a safety factor for certain, is to have that towing service just for things like this or when your dad runs out of gas or when he wants to catch one more snook and the boat gets grounded because the tide goes out. Hey, look, I'm full of those examples, but they're good ones. They're things we remember. But, yeah, I cranked it up. I called CETO. Oh, we'll be there after a while and...
It was like a couple hours.
It was dark.
Yeah, it was dark by the time they got there.
Dark and cold.
But in the meantime. You got.
Actually, what he told me to do, he said, we'll be there in a little bit. Keep fishing. So we did.
So we did. Yeah. And so I was fishing. I put on my schoolwork. I was like, Mom, I'm just done. Let's just fish for a little bit. So we were doing that and I hooked up with the only fish that day and. It was a 32-inch
redfish.
Yeah, it was a big redfish.
It was a big redfish.
And it was running me all around the boat. Like, you're like pulling it with me. She's like, Jordan, he's coming this way, right this way.
Yeah, I had fished all day. Me, you know, the fisherman and the family. And hadn't caught a thing. And in 15 minutes, Jordan puts a 32-inch redfish in the boat. But we had the bad part of the day. The good mm-hmm. part of the day. And then we had the terrifying part of the day.
Yeah. So CETO finally came and they changed our battery out, and he was like, okay, we'll see y'all later. So he rode out, and we were packing up our stuff, and we're like, okay, it's dark outside. Let's go in. And so we were coming in, and coming toward us, we saw this boat. And we're like, oh, there's another person out here.
An ocean-going tugboat.
Yeah, and so Dad was still going, like, wide open.
On plane, yeah, wide open.
He was going down, and all of a sudden, the towboat goes past us, and then we hit its wake, and we were airborne, like, four times.
You would be amazed how big a wake an ocean-going tugboat throws off. And it being nighttime, and of course, I had no spotlight to see what was in front of me. We were just following the channel buoys, the lighted channel buoys out to Rimley Point. And that tugboat was going to the Wando docks. And it wasn't moving fast. That was the problem. And we hit the first wave airborne, hit the second wave airborne. About that time, I yanked back on the throttle and we went down the backside of the third wake. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if my eyes were as big as theirs, but I knew there were four raccoons in the boat with me that night because there were some big white eyes shining back at me in the darkness. Oh, yeah. That hurt too. I remember
it did.
That.
I remember I grabbed onto Mom. Mom grabbed onto the handle, seat on yep. the handle on the bottom of the seat.
Oh.
And yeah, that was.
That was one of those I wished it never happened, but you know, you live and learn.
Yeah.
I have when I go out, I have two batteries. I have that membership just in case. I have a spotlight so I can see to mm-hmm. get out. And, trust me, I know what a seagoing tug looks like at night now too.
Yes.
Cool. Wow. I knew that one was going to come up. I bet the other one's going to come up as getting grounded in Marco.
That was one of mine.
Yeah. That was another one that I wish to forget.
Yeah. That was a scary night.
That was a scary night, yeah.
It really was.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Tell us about it.
Well, we always went to Marco Island during the summer. That was like our summer vacation. We went in late May. And this year, it was me, you, Mom, Taylor, and then my cousin Dana.
That's right.
And we always towed your boat down, and we would go out to this little island
Little Kuwaitan Island, mm-hmm. north of Marco.
We always went out there, and that was our beach, and it was normally pretty deserted.
That's right.
Like the last couple of years we went, it got more crowded.
It did.
But, so we were out there, and you went off fishing off the point, and Mom and Taylor stayed, by the boat, and Taylor just played in the little wading pools. And Dane and I would go off and we would find seashells and jump waves and just have fun. But it was getting dark and Mom was like, where's Dad? And
we don't know.
And you were out fishing and you're like, okay, just a little bit more. Just give me like a couple more minutes.
In my defense, mm-hmm. if you ever been in a position like you were just catching fish after fish, it was an outgoing tide around the tip of Kuwaitan. There was a hole on the backside just before you got to the point, and the snook were stacked up in there, and it was a snook, a cast. And if you've never caught a snook, it's a saltwater largemouth on steroids. They're slimmer, they're longer, and they jump, and they run, and they're just a ball to catch. And I was catching, like I said, just one after another. I was like, oh, yeah, y'all get all the stuff together, you know, the beach umbrellas and the tent and all the stuff. Put it in the boat, and, you know, and when you get it all in the – just imagine me telling y'all to get everything loaded in the boat. When you get everything loaded in the boat, I'll come, and we'll go back to the house. But anyway, go ahead.
So it was getting dark outside, and you finally showed up, and the boat ended up beached – on the island because tide had gone out.
Yeah, the cool little shallow area where I'd pull the boat that was just perfect to, yeah, it was, you got in the boat and it was a little tilt to the boat and I realized this is not good. The bad thing about that night was we could see Marco Island and I knew where the sea tow guy was on Marco, but the Marco River was his border. So we had mm-hmm. to wait for the person from Naples to come down
yeah.
and tow us off.
Yeah.
That's when it got scary.
It was really getting dark outside.
It was
And we were waiting.
And the mosquitoes.
Well, the mosquitoes and the horseflies.
The South Florida Air Force was out en masse that night. Yeah. Had five victims.
Yeah.
They were all huddled up under towels.
Yeah, we were under towels, and you were trying to spray bug spray on Taylor, and Taylor got it in her eyes, and she was screaming, crying. And so, yeah, that was just not a fun night. And So Sito finally showed up, and you dropped your Sito card in the water.
Yes.
And
he said, don't worry about it. Let's just get out of here, and we'll work out the details later. Yeah, I was handing my Sito membership card and dropped it in the water. The worst part about that night was the ride out.
The ride out was terrifying.
We were at low tide, of course. You were going in from the Gulf. We had to run out into the Gulf of Mexico in a flats boat now. We're not in a center console with nice high sides or anything. We're in a 16.5-foot flats boat. We had to run out behind the Sito because he said the channel is so shallow. He said, you've got to stay 30 yards behind me. He said, don't, your engine needs to be in the same path mine is. So, and you probably still will grind up. We had to go out in the Gulf of Mexico at night, hook around and come back in. The worst part about that, do you remember the worst part about that?
Well, you had to be up on plane.
Well, I had to be up on plane. Yeah. I did not have my glasses.
That was right. Yeah, you didn't have
your
glasses.
I had my sunglasses because I expected to be back in. I did not have my regular glasses. So the Sito guy is saying, you need to stay up behind me. And I'm thinking, you're a big blurb, dude. I don't know how far behind you I'm going to be. Yeah, that was another one where Daddy Fishing got us in trouble. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's good memories now.
But it's good memories.
Yeah, it's good
except
memories.
Except for Taylor. She, yeah, but the bug spray in the eyes just did not go over well at all.
No.
But I was trying to do my best to keep the mosquitoes off of her. Oh, God. Oh, we had some good times down there at that
we
place.
Did.
We're going to go back this, after you graduate, we're going back.
I'm really excited.
We're going to
go
back.
The island's gone.
The hurricanes took a part of it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the funny thing about those little barrier islands. They come and go with the with the storms. Wow. I had down here Alaska.
So did I. But that's just...
Oh, that was...
That's a big story.
That's another one of those trips that everything went right.
Yeah. It was an amazing trip.
I had enough airline miles to fly us up there. We saved money. We got a 50% off deal on an RV. We spent 11 days, 1,500 miles... Caught more salmon than I ever thought I would in my life. Saw brown bears within 10 feet of us.
Yeah.
Fighting brown bears. Saw Denali.
Yeah. That was.
With no clouds.
That was really good. Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to be Alaska people.
No, even just those spur of the moment trips.
That's
like
right.
The one to Chester.
The one to Chester. It's just grabbing the moments that you have. Grabbing the moments you have and making the most of them. And you're right. I mean, it is. You remember things differently than I do, although we remember a lot of things the same. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You killed me this year, you know. You came up to me about a month ago and said, Daddy, I want to go deer hunting with you a couple of times. And I was like, this hasn't happened in 4 or 5 years. Why? Because it's the last time we'll be able to go. What are you talking about? Not good. Not good. But anyway, thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing the memories. Yeah. I hope you out there and listening have enjoyed the stories. Go make some of your own. And this is Thanksgiving. Start now. Christmas is coming up. Springtime is coming up. You know, there are fishing trips you can take here. There's hikes you can take. We didn't get into hiking.
We have taken so many hikes.
After we figured out that hunting just didn't do it for Jordan, I kind of went off on my own for a few years and said, you know, okay, I'm just going to go off in my little corner and play in Jordan. But we, in Alaska, we realized how much fun we could have hiking together because we talked nonstop.
We did. I mean, we were together for 11 days and we never ran out of
anything to
say.
Talk about.
Yeah.
So you got to start sometime. Just start and do it. And hey, we got a minute left. Just about perfect timing. There are a lot of things you could say about Thanksgiving. I mean, if you're listening to the radio right now, you're probably in the top 10% of the world's population. So no matter where you are in life right now, it's Thanksgiving. Be thankful for where you are and what you have. Family, health, whatever. I know I have more than, wow, so many things, including my family. Chuck Norris for this week. In honor of the Chili Show next week, Chuck Norris uses hot sauce for eye drops. Next Saturday is the fifth Saturday cooking show with Matt Lusk. You've heard about it. Listen in. When I talked to him, this is how involved he is. He just got back from Las Vegas, Nevada, the World Chili Cook-Offs. Did a really good job. He's got some recipes I'm going to put up on the website and Facebook, so look for those. There's James, another Saturday. Eat lots of great food this week. Try to enjoy being around that crazy uncle. Make some memories today. Get out there. Don't forget the camera. I'll be back December the 5th or the 6th.